Well, as they say, here we are again. Here we go again. Our encounter, our weekly encounter with none other than Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Hello,
the food
Arthur.
Maven, yes.
Maven.
Good
We're
morning,
teaching.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been walking down Nostalgia Lane this week because now that I'm eating bread again, my mind goes to sandwiches. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of nostalgia for sandwiches and a little history as well. One of the things that intrigues me, and I don't know, you'll tell me, I don't know if this is just me and my family or the era I grew up in, but we never had grilled cheese sandwiches together with a bowl of tomato soup into which the grilled cheese sandwich was often dunked.
Never. That is strictly a religious thing.
What was religious about that?
No. If you were, certainly if you grew up Jewish in Buffalo, you did not get...
Well, if you grew up Jewish in Marine Park, Brooklyn, you'd have never heard of it either.
That's and, what I'm trying to say politely.
Yeah,
but
I think it's an era thing.
Okay.
I think this did not, because there are people on TV, doing food on TV, who are nostalgic for this.
But if
I
you
figure
were,
it happened in the 70s sometime. And they could be nostalgic for something from 50 years ago if they're now 60 or,
okay,
you
so
know.
There was a book that came out when I had my first job, so I will say that it was in 19... I don't know, it had to be 1979, I think, or 70, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 1979, and there was a character, he had seven, let's see, lots of sisters, but the only thing that he got when he was sick as a kid growing up in the Beach Boys era, let's just say, mm-hmm. So in this, in Orange County, mm-hmm. was a cream of tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich. Like, that was the healing. That was the equivalent of, uh-huh. in my family, buttered macaroni.
Well, I think it's a great combination. I'm not, you know, disparaging the combination. It's just that I never heard of it until, you know, relatively recently. Let's say the last 20 years. But maybe even more recently. In any case, even the Brooklyn Museum restaurant, which is a nice place to sit. I'm not sure it's such a nice place to eat. But they have very good tomato soup. But they serve it with a grilled cheese sandwich that has been upscaled too much, which is to say the bread is so thick and also crusty that it would have to be burned before the cheese inside this thick sandwich ever melted. So I've tried it twice, and neither time was the cheese even melted. And this is from somebody, though, who grew up eating incredible grilled cheese sandwiches. In fact, I've been thinking about so much today that I'm going to make them for lunch in my grandmother's Toastite. Now, speaking of nostalgia, do you remember Toastites?
No.
A Toastite is a circular sandwich grill. You put a slice of bread on one side, you put buttered, you put whatever you're going to fill it with inside, then you put it on another piece of bread, and then you clamp it down. It has two handles, and you trim off the edge. So it's going to end up being a relatively crustless sandwich. And by the way, for this, you can't use special thick bread or anything. You need good old white bread. I'll get to that in a minute. But or beige bread, as I call some whole wheat bread. In any case, and then you grilled it on top of the stove over the flame. And my grandmother used to make grilled cheese sandwiches this way, but she also used the Toastite to make little jam tarts. Which are really terrific, I got to say. Now, I keep meaning, I have my Toastite, and it's even handy in a cupboard here, but I haven't used it in quite some time. You know, the thing about a Toastite is, because you're cooking it over an open flame, by the way, it's wonderful if you have a fire pit or something. The handles are usually relatively long, like maybe a foot long. I think they still sell Toastites, by the way. The thing is, you have to really get some experience with it on your stove to just, you know, figure out how big the flame is going to be and how long you're going to cook it on both sides, because you really can't open it until you're ready to pull it out. It could stick otherwise. So that's another little sandwich. So I think, I don't know if we said this, but I say sandwich. And I have been teased all my life here in Brooklyn for saying sandwich. Apparently, I say it in some kind of hoity-toity way, because my next-door neighbor, who grew up in Brooklyn also, and more or less my neighborhood, she says the correct pronunciation is sandwich. And I'm saying sandwich, which I think is actually the correct pronunciation, or certainly a more broadcaster pronunciation than sandwich.
I've always said sandwich.
Who says sandwich?
I say sandwich. What do you say?
Well, you're from Buffalo, so there you go. I say sandwich, a broader A.
Sandwich. Sandwich. If you're from Buffalo, you say sandwich.
No, it's really, well, it's the same as...
Like the plaza.
Yeah. Anyway, I am really now... It all started last week when I talked about making tomato sandwiches and BLTs, which I'm still not over. The tomatoes are perfect right now. And so, in fact, we had BLTs for dinner last night. But here's a whole group, not a whole group, but it's a small group of sandwiches that I not only have a lot of nostalgia for, but I'm going to have to make because they're hard to get outside of your own house. And that's Croque Monsieur, Croque Madame, and the Monte Cristo. You know the Monte Cristo?
Yes, but I've forgotten what the bits.
Well,
are.
Let me, because you lived in California. Who knew until I did a little bit of research that the Monte Cristo was actually invented in California in the 60s and popularized at a restaurant that I never heard of, but apparently everybody else in the world has heard of, Blue Bayou. There's apparently one in every Disney World or Disneyland place. So the original Disneyland in California has this Blue Bayou restaurant. It made a Monte Cristo, and Monte Cristo is really a croque monsieur, which is to say it's a ham and cheese sandwich dipped in usually just beaten egg with some milk or cream like you would make French toast. So the whole sandwich, both sides, are dipped into the egg and then fried in a pan with butter. Of course, the cheese melts. It's delicious. You can embellish this, and very often I have seen this in restaurants where they want to sell this for a lot of money, but it doesn't cost much to make. But so they embellish it with something else that doesn't cost much to make, which is bechamel. So they'll actually, I've had it put the sandwich, after it's been fried like a French toast, put into a casserole and then covered in bechamel, and maybe some grated cheese on top of that and put it in the oven. To me, that's a restaurant way of eating it, because what they're doing is finding a way to reheat an already cooked sandwich, I think. But if you do it at home, I would do a little less bechamel. If you want to do the bechamel version, make some bechamel. Let's say 2 tablespoons of flour, 2 tablespoons of butter, and a cup of milk. Seasoned with salt, pepper, and nutmeg. Nutmeg is always good with cheese. And you can spread this thick bechamel on top of the sandwich. Don't embed the sandwich in bechamel. Just spread this nice creamy sauce on top, and then sprinkle that with cheese and put it under the broiler until the sauce bubbles and the cheese melts. That's really good. Now, that if you want to make it a croque madame, you know the difference?
I used to. Now I'm old.
Well, anyway, you add a fried egg.
That's it. Okay.
An egg makes it feminine, apparently.
Eh bien.
It does. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you make a fried egg, and you put that on top of your already elaborate sandwich, and that's a croque madame. By the way, the elements of this have to be very good, I think. And I'm still searching for bread that I really like in, you know, some sandwiches call for special bread, but most sandwiches call for ordinary bread. I don't really like white bread these days, as I've said many times, but the beige breads aren't that much better. I bought one the other day. I don't know. It was okay, but it had too many seeds. I was picking seeds out of my teeth all day. And then I bought one that had too much sugar. I mean, all these breads have some sweetener involved. And I really don't want that sweet edge on a sandwich, most sandwiches anyway. Yesterday, I sent Bob into a local bodega-ish market, meaning it's not a supermarket, it's just a corner grocery. And what they had was, now I don't even remember if it's Pepperidge Farm or Arnold, I think it's Pepperidge Farm, hearty white bread, which actually was semi-inappropriate for the BLTs that I made, because I thought it was a little too thick. And I didn't toast it on request, but I think next time if I do have a white bread like that, it'll benefit from being toasted. But it will make very good croque madame, croque monsieur, because I think it's a very absorbent bread. And once you soak it in egg, it's going to come out really, really good. Anyway, there are a lot of other kinds of bread, but to me, a sliced bread is what's called for in all these sandwiches that to me are nostalgic. Like, truthfully, a tuna fish sandwich, I mean, I can eat it on a lot of different kinds of bread, but a tuna fish sandwich with made with mayonnaise on white bread is a classic. Why would I want to change that?
Have you tried Pepperidge Farm recently?
I think the loaf that we're eating now is Pepperidge Farm.
Because I have it, you know, I Wonder Bread was always, you know, I never saw the Wonder.
I'm not even sure.
But Pepperidge Farm white bread, I mean.
Oh, I used to buy it all the time.
Yeah, like back.
It is a little bit sweet, by the way.
Is it?
But this is, yeah. Let me actually, you know, I'm on a cordless phone,
so we can go look.
And I can go look what this was, or is. Which I know is going to make very good French toast, but it is Pepperidge Farm, okay. Hearty, or is this Pepperidge Farm? Yeah, this is Pepperidge Farm, farmhouse, hearty white. It's not that squared off loaf, mm-hmm. the classic Pepperidge Farm white bread. Isn't that it's a squared off loaf. And I found it's almost indistinguishable from Arnold.
I remember, but Arnold's used to be the real Jewish rye people. We got the rye bread with caraway seed. Arnold's.
Yes. So, by the way, not that long ago, I bought a loaf of Levi's, or is it Levy's Jewish rye? You didn't have to be Jewish.
Right.
You didn't have to be Jewish because it's sort of a pale,
it's
version. Real Jewish rye.
I got faked out. I mean, again, decades ago.
But it's not
ago.
Bad.
Oh, really?
I thought it was actually a pretty good sandwich bread, and I made Reuben sandwiches with it. And that, you know, I make an excellent Reuben sandwich. In fact, I published my Reuben sandwich recipe in New York City Food. I want to point out that it was not a specialty of Reuben's Deli. That's a myth. There was a Reuben special on the menu, but it wasn't this sandwich. The Reuben sandwich was invented by a waitress in Omaha, Nebraska, who had a card club upstairs in this restaurant bar. I think it was a bar. And she catered to them. Of course, they were regular customers, this poker group or whatever. And one day she made this sandwich for them. It was a big hit. She entered it into a sandwich recipe contest and won. Craig Claiborne wrote about it. So it really is not an ancient recipe, but it is a superb recipe. And actually, I don't make them because we have a place 5 minutes away that makes superb Reubens. And what makes, besides the elements in the sandwich, which I'll get to, is that you don't want to have it open faced, piled a lot of dry corned beef. You don't want it. You don't want it thick, and I don't know. It needs to be well proportioned. So it needs to not be over the top, because you want every bite to be harmony. Anyway, I will give you a recipe, but I have to say that the Levi's, or is it Levi's, Jewish rye worked very well. Now, what Reuben did, we're talking about the delicatessen in Midtown Manhattan, Reuben's, famous, was still around when I was a young man, so I went there a few times. I don't know if it was any... It was even a shadow of its former self, but I enjoyed it. They did introduce the idea of Russian dressing on a corned beef sandwich. And I have to say, my mother's favorite deli sandwich was a corned beef on rye with Russian dressing and coleslaw on the sandwich. Coleslaw on the sandwich. In other words, more mayonnaise. So, and it's really, I must say, a very, very good sandwich. But we have a place nearby here called Moe's, for Mohammed, not for Morris. And I call them the Mohammeds. It's a father and sons who run this place. They're all from Yemen. And they make exquisite pastrami, corned beef, and brisket. And you can get a sandwich of varying sizes, or you can get it without, you know, can take it out. And they also make very good coleslaw, by the way. But a Reuben calls for sauerkraut, but they make a really good Reuben. So the elements of a Reuben are, besides the rye bread, or it could be pumpernickel, but I like rye bread. Pumpernickel is nothing but rye bread with some food coloring, or coffee coloring. You need butter, because they're going to be grilled sandwiches. And you need Russian dressing. Now, I'll give you a recipe for Reuben's Russian dressing, which is slightly different than the usual. And then you need, of course, a well-drained, fresh-style sauerkraut. When I say fresh-style, I mean the stuff that comes refrigerated in the supermarket, usually in plastic bags, but sometimes in jars. And you want it very well-drained, but you don't have to do anything else with it. And then you need, this is for each sandwich, you're going to want a quarter of a cup of sauerkraut and a couple of ounces of either Gruyere or Switzerland Swiss, otherwise known as Emmentaler, real Swiss cheese, in other words. Could be sliced. You may have to slice it yourself. Not everybody sells sliced Gruyere and Emmentaler these days. And then you also, for each sandwich, a quarter of a pound of thinly sliced corned beef. And you layer this on your a buttered rye bread. The butter is on the outside. And you put them in a grill, and you grill it over medium-low heat until the first side is brown and the cheese will just beginning to melt. And then you turn it over, and you now press it down a bit. I use, whatever I have handy. The fact is I always have a black iron skillet to put on top of it, and I actually have a sandwich press as well. So you put some weight on top of it and let it grill over low heat until it's all heated through, and again, the second side is browned. The Russian dressing, I say, is a little different than your standard. I'll give you some proportions, though. By the way, this is all about proportions.
A word that isn't used enough, but it's true. Salad dressing, you name it, it's the right proportion.
It's proportion.
Yep.
So don't put a half, don't say, I'm going to make the sandwich better, I'm going to use a half a pound of corned beef instead of a quarter of a pound. Besides that, you shouldn't be eating half a pound of corned beef in one sitting. it's going to take out the whole thing, take out the balance. Anyway, the Russian dressing is a half a cup of mayonnaise. I use Hellman's. I have bought Duke's recently because everybody tells me it's better. But I grew up on Hellman's, and I like that taste, and Duke's is good, too. I don't like Kraft. So whatever mayonnaise toots your horn, a half a cup, a tablespoon of either ketchup or, and I keep this in the house, chili sauce, Heinz chili sauce. It's like a slightly spicy ketchup. If you want to put it in two tablespoons, that's okay too. A teaspoon of grated onion, that's very little onion, So, you know, and you do it on the fine side of the grater. And about a half teaspoon to a teaspoon of horseradish. Let's say a quarter teaspoon or so of Worcestershire sauce. And you don't need to put an herb in, but if you feel like it, chives are always good. Parsley is good. I don't really think you need an herb. Now, if you went to Reuben's and you were a celebrity customer or some rich person customer, he would throw in some salmon roe, we call caviar, into your Russian dressing. And by the way, eggs a la Russe was an item on the menu, so he always had this the red fish roe around.
Yeah.
And it's a relatively inexpensive item. He was a cheapskate, by the way, Reuben. He was not a nice man. And that was not his sandwich. So, anyway, speaking of nostalgia and sandwiches, doing this with my next-door neighbor this morning, as I mentioned, she grew up in Brooklyn, too. She remembered this sandwich that got me into trouble. It's a Chinese roast pork, red roasted pork, on garlic bread, like a, you know, long loaf bread, but made garlic bread, duck sauce, and some people put mustard on it also, as well as the duck sauce. This was a standard sandwich in Brooklyn in the 1950s into the 60s. But it originated at a delicatessen in the Catskills called Herbie's. And Herbie's was not a kosher deli, but it was a Jewish-style deli. Obviously not a kosher deli. They served Chinese roast pork. By the way, this was like the ultimate crossover, assimilation food. You know, you were Jewish eating Italian garlic bread with Chinese roast pork and Chinese duck sauce, which, by the way, it's funny. Saucy Susan, you know that sauce?
Yeah.
That's been very bigly, as Donald Trump would say, adopted by the kosher community here in Brooklyn. They sell it by the quart. I'm not joking. In the kosher supermarkets. So I don't know what they all. I do know what they all do with it, but I don't want to talk about it. Anyway. So Herbie's used to serve this sandwich to the celebrities who used to frequent his place in the Catskills, like, you know, everybody, truthfully, all the comics, the singers, Stephen Eady, I guess Frank Sinatra, too, Sammy Davis Jr. played Catskills. They all used to go to Herbie's.
And this
anyway,
is where I'm sure we have to say Jackie Miles. And I'm sure Jackie.
Oh, of course. Well, how could I? I'm sure. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm sure Marshall has stories about Herbie.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah.
They probably used to have to go get him. He probably shut the place down. I don't know how.
Anyway, yeah. Herbie also had a big clientele from Brooklyn.
Sure.
And somehow the sandwich got picked up by two restaurants in Sheepshead Bay, Seniors on Ostrand Avenue and Martin's on Ostrand Avenue, and eventually Diners started serving it, and it became a big thing. Herbie eventually, by the way, opened a restaurant in Brooklyn called Herbie's International, and just to show you the mindset of the day, like this sandwich, international to us then meant Chinese, Jewish, and Italian all in the same place. You didn't have to go to three different restaurants because that's all we knew. That's the only food that anybody in Brooklyn knew. There was some, there were Irish bars, but they had a dried out cheese sandwich behind the bar. That was always the story because they were required by law to have food. Anyway, Herbie's sandwich lives on. I read about it somewhere else only a few years ago, and that they were making it at the Floridian Diner on Flatbush Avenue in my old neighborhood. So we went back, and besides that, the sandwich was terrible. I don't even remember why, but it was. Probably the meat was as dry as a bone. But also the waitress, imagine a diner waitress who was nasty. So she, between the nasty waitress and the bad sandwich, we don't go to the Floridian anymore. Not for anything.
Right.
Anyway.
So we've got no time. I think we're going to have to do part two because we've got no time left.
Is that true?
I can't. You can't make this up.
Well, yeah, I have 3 minutes, according to me.
Well, then.
You know.
If you've got 3 minutes, according to you, you know what? Go for it.
Well, I'm going to put in a plug now for Moe's. Moe, actually, the daddy, the father here, is named Mustafa, but his oldest son is Mohammed, and then he has two other sons. They all work in this business, and it's like So Brooklyn. It's a Yemenite family making Jewish food in a very gentrified neighborhood. The neighborhood is Prospect Lefferts. It's a historic district these days. But Moe's is right on Flatbush Avenue in what used to be the flatlands of Jewish Brooklyn. But these days is more Caribbean, I would say, than anything. But it's changing. And Moe's is helping it stay well fed.
And spreading.
You get a superb pastrami sandwich with nothing but mustard. You get a great Reuben, or you can just have what Bob always has, is the brisket with some gravy. It's really not gravy; it's jus. You know, it's
yeah. Is it open faced or not? The brisket.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
They're very accommodating. It's a tiny place. It's a family operation. They have like maybe they can see 20 people. I've never been there at lunchtime when there were more than 10, but. They could probably see. A lot of people do takeout.
Yep.
You know, it's a neighborhood place. They go, and Mustafa tells me that, you know, I never go at night, but at night he's very busy, especially with people lining up for food to take home. But anyway, there's a restaurant recommendation in Brooklyn. Not that anybody in Sharon's coming to Brooklyn to eat pastrami, well, although you could.
Not only that, you know, you're not just heard in Sharon, so there you go.
I know. I'm just using that as like, you know.
Oh, and I'm going to say that a lot of people would actually trek to Brooklyn because they're there or not far.
Well, if you ever want a tour, I'm a very good tour guide.
All right. I will bear that in mind. So
let us remember, because I just read this about Italy the other day from one of my friends who does tours and stuff, and she gets all these questions. People don't understand how big Brooklyn is.
No.
You cannot do the whole borough in one day, but we could do one corner of the borough in one day.
All right. No, I think that's a really good thing that we're going to start reminding people about that. Because
you might as well
see what's in front of your face.
I'm usually here.
Yeah. Well, when you are, and when you're not, you're not. But
that's it.
Seems perfectly reasonable. All right.
All right. Well, everybody enjoy their week.
And you too. And we'll talk to you next time.
Take care.
Bye.